Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the beautiful day you've blessed us with, the awesome opportunity to be able to gather in your house as part of your family and be able to get into your word. Help us now as we continue our studies to understand it and apply it right, and encourage us to share it as well. Thank you oh so much for all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our chronological study of the Word of God, it's currently in the book of Exodus. And pick it up in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 18. Where it reads, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even." Even means evening, as we would know. And the reason that the unleavened bread was representative is twofold. One is they were leaving in haste. It was a hurry. Didn't have time to put the leaven in and let the dough rise and then bake it before they go. So they had to prepare it quickly. And also the leaven is a representation that the Lord also uses over in the New Testament to teach us through parables about an infiltrating influence. And he didn't want an infiltrated influence to be carried from Egypt, because all the paganism that they had been surrounded by and all of that influence that they could carry with them, they were to leave that behind. And this unleavened bread represented that. Not to let something come in and influence you in a negative way. And we know that it just takes a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole loaf. So a little bit of false teaching, a little bit of anti-Christ or anti-God influence could affect you in a great way. Start again in verse 18. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." That passing over the door, thus the name of this event and celebration of this being Passover. Verse 24, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. That's a lot of people to have to move out of there, and quite an impact on Egypt, because most of those men were servants and were very needed. Some of them were too old, of course, but others were just right for doing a great work that was being done there. So it was quite an impact on Egypt to give up all those people. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So it had been 430 years since they originally came there and finally were able to depart. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." It's like the Lord on the cross, not a bone was broken in him. That was representative of what Jesus would one day do. "All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." Interesting point to bring out here is how the Lord was welcoming in those that were not even of the bloodline of Abraham to be able to come in and be a part of the family of God. As it continues, "One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." The stranger, that would be somebody that was not of the bloodline. Welcome them into the family. Just as today, the Lord has made salvation available to whosoever. Doesn't matter your lineage. Verse 50. "Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." All that being done to get them out, to teach them, to prepare them, to set the stage, you might say, for the events that are going to be fulfilled one day. Right on into chapter 13, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Sanctified means to designate a particular purpose and set aside something or someone. There is whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So the firstborn were to be dedicated and sanctified to be the Lord's. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from the place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. So this is the time when he reestablishes the calendar for the Jews, the Hebrew calendar. Abib being the first month of the year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. So as we see again, the leaven representing, don't bring all that with you, that influence, that penetrating, altering influence from the past. Just as when we become born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we leave all of that evil way, all that sinful way that is taken out of us, no longer to come back into us and infiltrate us and influence us. And also here, this reference to the forehead and the hand, as it says there again in verse 9, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes. Later you see the priest make what they call a phylactery. And a phylactery is a tiny little box. It started out as a tiny little box, and then later some of them wanted to make bigger and bigger boxes. But it would be a tiny box, and within that box you would put a scripture or a prayer request, and you would tie that around your wrist, or you would tie it around your forehead, representing that you were someone. They used it to represent that they were someone who was obedient and in the will of the Lord. But what he literally meant in this was taking it into your head, in your forehead, in your mind. So having a new mind, and on the hand being a new work. So what you do and what you think becomes devoted to the Lord. That's what these represented in their true sense. But later the Pharisees would use this in New Testament times to brag about them being so obedient. And they would make these huge phylacteries, and they would tie them around their head or around their wrist and carry them around like, "Ooh, look, he's really, really close to the Lord. Look what he's doing and devoted." So as so many things we see get twisted around and used for self-glory. As it continues in chapter 13, verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass that thou shalt redeem with a lamb, And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now this breaking of the neck is not talking about the children, it's just talking about the animals. Verse 14, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. This repenting is not talking about repenting of your sins here. It's talking about changing their direction. And like they see that, oh, there's some war up ahead or some hardship ahead. Let's go the other way and go back to Egypt. Because they were not confident yet. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So it was awesome that they had not only Moses and Aaron to lead them in the direction they needed to go, they had this miraculous spectacle right in front of them, this cloud by day and fire by night, to guide them and to lead them in the direction that they needed to go. All they needed to do was be obedient and follow the leader, which was the Lord. All right, let's go right on into chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pehahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So instead of having them continue to journey, he said, all right, you guys come over here near the Red Sea and camp right here. And now he's setting this in play of Pharaoh going to come after them. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Right away you see the murmuring, the moaning, the groaning, the complaining, the unfaithfulness being displayed in the children of Israel. After seeing all the miracles already, all the plagues that came upon Egypt, and them coming out and following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, still not faithful, still not trusting. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. On dry ground. Not just bringing the water back and then them having to walk through all the sludge and the mud and everything. No, he cleared a path. Dry path. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Like, okay, what was in front guiding them now comes behind them. You wonder, well, why? It tells you here. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to thee, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So he divided them with this barrier. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Notice, divided. Not just pulled back in one direction, like you think maybe a drought or some kind of obstacle would cause the water to fall, or a breaking of an earthen dam or something, and a sudden water flow go another direction. No, this was divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. You've had some skeptical scholars of man's wisdom try to say, oh, this was during a drought and the water had just receded back and then they went across. Nope, in the area that they went across, it could not have been that kind of a drought that would have taken that. And to this event to happen so quickly and so forth, it was definitely the hand of the Lord, and that the water was a wall on either side. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels. So as they come down in there, trying to cross over, he makes their wheels start to fall off. That they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. So all that wall of water comes crashing down on top of all them, the horses, the chariots, all the Egyptians. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Feared the Lord and believed the Lord. All this that they've gone through. And finally, they're starting to show some belief. It doesn't last long till they start murmuring again, start moaning and groaning and complaining, which they are really a lot of that that goes on. And the Lord continues to work with them and to filter out, you might say, the ones that are going to be faithful and the ones that are just going to be the moaning, groaning, complainers and murmurers and the faithless ones. They wind up falling in the way. They wind up dying in the wilderness. Some of them he kills directly with plagues. He opens up the ground and swallows up some of the rebellious ones of Korah and so forth. So a lot more that they have to go through. He's honing them down. He's fine-tuning them. It's like you take crude earth and rocks and so forth and ore, iron ore or copper ore or gold ore, and you take that and you refine that, you melt that down, and you divide out the spoils from what you really want, the gold and the precious things that are within it that you're seeking. And that's what they have to go through, that refining process, till they do finally come into the promised land. Are they fully obedient and in perfect folks after all this? No. They're improved. They still make a lot of mistakes, as we can learn from ourselves. Just like when the Lord cleanses us, refines us, and gets us ready for service, there's still things that might pop up. Now and then we fail, but there's blessed opportunity for forgiveness now. We are under a time of grace and mercy. Let's take advantage of that. Learn from the mistakes of the people in the past as well as the things they did right, so we can do the things that are right and not repeat the mistakes that they made. What's that old saying? Experience is the best teacher, especially when you can learn from the experience of someone else. So let's do that. Learn from that experience that they went through. And don't be disobedient and faithless. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the opportunity you've given us to be able to get into your word to do these studies. We truly thank you for preserving it for us that we can learn from it. Help us to apply it properly and encourage us to share it with others as well. We truly thank you for allowing us the opportunity of salvation, to be cleansed in the blood, to have that Passover for us as well. Thank you oh so much for all of us. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.